commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK. That's 907-458-8255. A couple things. Today's the first Tuesday of the month, so it's a laundry house gang, and we got a lot of them here, and they've got attitudes. Someone messed with all the mics. So, Jen, you here?
Good morning.
Wayne, you here?
I am.
Mike, you here?
Nice to see you again, Dave.
You too. And, you know, minus 12 degrees felt really good today.
Picnic weather.
Hey, it's minus 7 when I pulled in.
Yeah.
Woo.
I mean, oh, God, I was going to. Oh, last night I got the snowplow out because it stays outside, and I plugged it in and wasn't minus 40 below, so got it started, and I plowed my driveway.
Well, what he means is he told his girlfriend to go out and do that, but it's okay.
Well, that's I will neither confirm nor deny that. I will neither
I'm guessing what he means is that he did what was left after after the last time Emily did it.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, excuse me. Sometimes I'm upper management, and I made sure that it was done. How's that?
You stood and supervised while she did it?
I didn't say I stood and supervised. I might have been inside with one of my Christmas beverages.
Stood in the window with a glass.
Yeah. What the heck? Anyway, Happy New Year.
Thank you.
You know, I guess, Mr. Heimer, for you, the personal question. At 40 below, 30 below, 40 below, the squirrels, they don't do much. They're hibernating, yeah. So... did you plot any retribution because they were hibernating? Did you go after them because they weren't moving and getting away from you?
Well, no, I wasn't moving either.
Okay.
Also hibernating.
You know, you had an interesting article here recently. We're going to get into it. We had a little bit of discussion on this prior to going on the air about Indian country.
Well, it's been cold, mm-hmm. and the squirrels and I have been pretty inactive.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been left to do nothing but think deep thoughts.
And you had an article in the Must Read Alaska.
Yeah, I did. That was one about demonstrations,
mm-hmm.
Wherein I argued that peaceful demonstrations accomplish nothing. There has been a movement or a change in what demonstrations are. They used to be peaceful,
mm-hmm.
the rationale for which was we would raise awareness.
Okay.
And I've been to several of those in my life. And turned out no one cared.
God.
But these days, peace demonstrations have become protests, which I think are up a level in threat volume.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than raising awareness, you say you should be aware, and if you're not, such and such will happen. Those, of course, when that fruit of that tree is ripe, becomes violence.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm of the opinion that peaceful demonstrations of an informative nature are irrelevant at this point because there's no need to inform people. Everybody knows everything. You know, protests are beginning to, or have been for quite some time, tread the thin line between protest and violence.
Yeah.
And if you look at the history of mankind, you know, to achieve something with a mass appeal, violence is going to be the way. There's going to be revolution, and I can't think of a revolutionary development that really has been violence-free.
You know, Jen, when it's 30, 40 below for a month and he's sitting at home, he's thinking too much.
That's a fella to do.
So our discussion deep about thoughts, Indian country. Do you want to go into that too? It wasn't in a bad way.
No, folks that are running for office often come to visit us at the Laundry House Gang.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's because Mr. Tinker invites them, or they certainly don't do it because we are influential with the powers that be, or things would be okay. But they come, and they tell us pretty much what their philosophy is, and I fall in love with every one of them.
That's true.
Because they all tell us things that we would like to hear. And one particular candidate stopped by, and I developed a correspondence because I was hoping to help that candidate along in an understanding.
And that candidate actually responds.
How things, yeah. And it's developed into an interesting correspondence, which has come down to my thinking about Indian country in a historic way that I haven't enjoyed before.
Okay.
And you're enjoying it now?
Boy, am I. To cut to the chase, I think what we have to do is go back to how we got into the notion that we should provide for the welfare of Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
That started in colonial times in the late 1700s, when the folks that were encountering westward European expansion were not culturally prepared to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And as an altruistic or paternalistic impulse, we decided that we should assume trust responsibility for those Native Americans.
Management of their...
They would be the corpus of the trust, and we would be the trustees.
Yeah.
And that has persisted for a long, long time, about as long as we've been here since the 1700s, late ones.
Well, and as we know, Anilka was an attempt to improve upon Indian country, which we've had to remind a couple of attorney generals of. I think you were present when we had 2005, an attorney general was walking through the Chitna situation and very confidently said, you know, well, I do have a degree in Indian law. We said, oh, that's super cute. We have this thing up here called Anilka, so let's work with that.
That was during the... Murkowski administration, I believe.
I ran into that particular
attorney general. And I remember
that attorney general. Several years later, and they walked up to me in the Seattle airport at, you know, one of the multiple gates, and I felt a hand on my shoulder, and they said, hi, how you doing? I said, boy, you look healthy now that you're not in that job anymore. He said, yeah, I do, thanks. And he said, I owe you an apology. I said, for what? He said, well, you were right. I thought, wow!
Yeah, yeah.
And she said about what?
The Chitna stuff.
Yeah, I know. Let me frame this just a little bit.
Certainly.
What we're in is the part of it is in comes out of the fact that Anilka is under review at the moment. The secretary has asked for anyone who's interested, basically public agencies, states can comment on the Anilka legislation's regulatory process and regulations. It's an opportunity for people who have made a lot of, particular or maybe detailed complaints over time about something to actually take a look at the regulation and say, wow, I wonder what would happen if we had enough people interested in changing this. And it comes to view that then a lot of outdoor organizations, individual Alaskans who've been scratching their head for a long time can get
and
into
offering
this.
Suggestions.
Yeah, but some of the leadership and especially part of our Native community like AFN don't want any erosion of the things that they think are special in Anilka.
Which you cannot disagree with their thoughts on.
Oh no, and that's
they're
my
protecting
point.
They're protecting their fief, their turf rather.
That's adaptive human behavior.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And that is exactly my point. There are people that get discouraged with them because of that. But it's the same that any of us would do.
Exactly.
Now, however, here's what guides the thing, and this is Public Law 92-203 from December 18th, 1971, 85th statute, which says in Part B of Anilka, all Aboriginal titles, if any, or in ANCSA, this was, and claims
now that's ANCSA, right?
Yes, Aboriginal title in Alaska based on use and occupancy, including submerged lands, underneath all water areas, both inland and offshore, and including any Aboriginal hunting or fishing rights that may exist, are hereby extinguished.
So Dave's going to end up having to take a commercial break, but, you know, we just had a win on the submerged lands that's leading towards some of this. And I guess maybe before the break, my last comment is that some people's perception of what others want or don't want out of an ILCA is sometimes unnecessarily phrased as mutually exclusive when it doesn't have to be.
True. And gentlemen, her comments there were from the experience of being a guest host. We have to take a break. Fairbanks, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
When Tuesday rolls around, Big Daddy's Barbecue turns up the heat. That's right. Every Tuesday, get Big Daddy's mouth-watering slow-smoked ribs for just $2 each. Yeah, you heard it. $2 for the ribs everyone in town can't stop talking about. Bring your friends, your family, or heck, bring your whole crew. At that price, why not? So swing by Big Daddy's Barbecue this Tuesday and stack your plate high with the best ribs around. Big Daddy's Barbecue, the northernmost southern barbecue on Wickersham between 1st and 2nd downtown.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need. But they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center. Call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com. Findoutfree.com.
It's dark, it's cold, and that snow's gonna start loading up on a couple of those trees hanging over your yard or house. You do know that Eric and his crew at Great Alaska Tree Company work year-round, right? Troublesome trees don't wait for summer, and neither should you. Winter's the worst time for tree damage. The power lines, cars, and homes, specializing in those tricky, hard-to-reach areas, licensed, bonded, and insured, it's Great Alaska Tree Company.
Hi, this is Eric with Great Alaska Tree Company. Yeah, we're totally still dropping trees all winter long. Give us a call, 978-470.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with snow likely. Highs level off around 10 below. North winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Snow likely. Lows level off around 19 below. 1 to 2 inches of snow today through tomorrow. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Have the Laundry House gang in here with Mike, Jen, and Wayne. Now, we're throwing the hand grenade in the room. It's politics. And I saw this thing on Facebook.
Well, it must be true.
And exactly. Now, this isn't this, you know, you came in and mentioned Mayor Bronson's running for governor. He's up here next
Wednesday.
Yeah. And he will announce who his lieutenant governor choice is, which will be from Fairbanks.
Yeah. He'll do that on the 14th.
Yeah.
And so, he might even do that on Problem Corner.
And so,
well, it says he's going to do it in the evening.
The question is who's going to be his running mate from Fairbanks? Now, these are some of the choices, and we're going to go through these. Senator Myers, Representative Tomaszewski, Representative Stapp, Representative Prox, myself, and no, Mayor Ward. And so, Jen, who do you think?
Ha, you're funny.
And me, no.
So I was up till about 11 texting back and forth with various people running through. Now, first of all, it's great that Harmony put up that list, but I was kind of waiting for somebody to do like a pool, you know, where you buy a square. And then I want to know
what
I win.
Let's do it. Okay, let's do it.
I want to know what I win if I buy the square. But so let's run through.
You're doing a Calcutta.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Calcutta. Anybody with a gaming permit want to run this? So the qualifications, right, in this puzzle, because for some of us, and I've talked with Jim Matherly about this, like, I don't follow sports. This is my sport, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you get some
Jim Matherly should be on this list.
So he was and did some funny things and said, anyway, it's not Jim. Let's go through the qualifications, though, right?
Okay, yeah.
So what was in the announcement? Someone with a finance background, someone with interior and coastal ties, who's the next generation. So with some of the names that have been thrown out there, they don't meet all of those qualifications already. Now, another piece that wasn't published that I'm hearing is that they're likely to be female. Okay, then that's another piece of the mix. So then people start... The names people were throwing out over text till about 11:30 last night, every one of them is like, well, does that have a finance background? Oh, no. Is that next generation? No. Well, does that one have coastal ties? Yes, but, okay, and trying to walk through it. So what do you guys think?
I didn't know those were the prerequisites. My prerequisite would be, which candidate will give candidate Bronson the most votes of the interior? Forget all the other demographics. You got to get through primary.
So it's which one will give the most votes. But then also, I mean, what do we know about it? I get in this clinical sense, right? As soon as you're a candidate, I'm sorry, you're just a product now on a shelf. You know, we look at the packaging.
Yeah.
We look what's inside. We look at the ingredients. Do people like the taste of Mountain Dew or the color? You know, who can we sell this to? Will enough people buy it? So he needs someone who will expand his possible votes, but we also know about him that he's generally been very committed to the conservatism.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't see him going too moderate in a running mate.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Who's your choice? Who do you think? You brought us this far. Come on.
I brought you this far. You guys have to do something.
No,
Wayne, what do you think?
I got my thought. My thought is out of this. My thought is Senator Meyer. It's my thought, because who could bring. You know, and I thought about...
Does he have coastal ties?
I looked at it and I said, okay. In the legislature, his running mates are not there anymore. Showers and Hughes.
Right.
He was not elected as the majority leader or the leader of the minority of the Senate, and he wanted that.
So we've got two interior legislators as the majority in the whip.
Yeah, so...
Even though
so with the finance,
minority
with,
in the
well, you said with everything in finance, my thought would be Will Stapp.
So let's read through the announcement.
Yeah. Okay, you read through the announcement.
The announcement says, for Lieutenant Governor, this pick represents the next generation of leadership grounded in strong financial and fiscal polity expertise, committed to a responsible development and deeply connected to both the interior and coastal Alaska.
His wife's from coastal Alaska.
Does she have interior ties?
He does.
Bronson and, does?
No, he does.
Will. Will, yes.
And she's from the Native community.
Yep. Together, they're building a team of understanding full scope of Alaska's economy and future.
Hmm. I think this between us, I like them both, but I think Rob Myers would bring in more interior votes. That's my thought. Mr. Heimer, you're the doctor.
That's probably more his brand.
Yeah. Mr. Heimer, you're the doctor in the room. What do you think?
Well, I'm glad that Jen read the announcement and detailed the qualifications. I feel much better about not having heard from anyone about the task. I think I'm completely capable of protecting the state seal, which is what the lieutenant governor's job is.
Yeah, but can you run the Division of Elections?
Well,
that's also the job.
Yeah. Right.
Farmer, your wife ran the checkbook for those years. You have no background in finance.
No, I'm not real strong in finance.
Now, Jen, how about you? Are you a candidate?
But I review
never running.
I review regulations like nothing.
You're just the advisor.
I have not been off message on the Jen is never running since 2000, when the process was fully vetted, when I was asked to run against Ramona Barnes, and then when I was asked to run when she retired in that seat where I would have had the chance, and I went through the mental exercise and decided I'm a specialist, not a generalist, and I can't just do it on the off chance my dad might be proud.
There you go. Mr. Tinker.
I hadn't given it any thought based on what you were saying, and it's going to take some thought to come up with a name. I think the two you have mentioned are possibles. However, I'm not sure you're with the qualifications that were in the announcement. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure you're in the legislative arena.
I've been racking my brain for bank executives that are willing to take that much of a pay cut.
Okay, I've got a progression for you. Here's my progression. It's Will Stapp. And then Leslie Hajdukovich runs for his seat.
Yeah, possibly.
Oh, so you're done playing checkers and you want to play chess now.
I'm playing Vulcan three-dimensional chess. Yeah. And, you know, Leslie's been asked, you know, talking with her. She's been asked by about five people. She's saying no. Yeah. Don't want that. And so that's my thought.
She's doing a good job working for Nick.
Yeah. And you know, I know Rob and I know Will. And I think both of them, in a way, mentally might be looking at terming out. Like Showers and Hughes did. I run for governor, I run for lieutenant governor.
Well, it's the game, right? Up or out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they do that.
That's possible.
And so my thought is if it's Will Stapp, you'll see Leslie Hajdukovich run for state house, which would be a great segue.
Yeah.
Rob Meyer, I think, brings Mayor Bronson the most votes in the interior. Whether you like it or not, because he has that very good, loyal conservative base that won't be broken up by the other 14 people running for governor.
Well, see, Rob is on brand, but then how does that diversify? I think, you know, when you're looking at doing campaign mailers, right? Mm-hmm. You say, do I put both of these two people on the same thing? And you say, well, you know, if the senator and the rep have the same voters, then yes. But so he doesn't bring a different base.
Yeah. Now let's look at it this way. You're not worried about. You're just trying to get his – who would bring you the more votes in the primary? That's what you're worried about, mm-hmm. period.
Yep.
Nothing else. Now, mm-hmm. if you're from
so
Fairbanks –
So on that math, now, if both the products are the same
– But they're not the same.
Well, if you got Cheerios and Happios.
No, they're not the same. my thought is you put Myers on there, and he'll be more of a draw for the conservative base in the interior.
You definitely don't
Will.
Want Cheerios and Fruit Loops.
Yeah, but you put Will on there, and he's more moderated, and he's going to lose people to the other. You know, he's not going to be that focused like Myers would be. They're both great. I love them both. Very proud and honored to see either of them. And you look at Click Bishop. He's got to take someone either from Anchorage or the Valley.
Southeast.
Yeah, or southeast.
Or westward.
Yeah, you start looking at these people on who's running. Now, why Bernadette chose Showers? What are you, nuts? There's no diversity there. Don't you probably both live on the same block?
Well, yeah, but
diversity in packaging.
Yeah, but I think the difference there is experience. Showers is an experienced politician. She's a newbie. And so that brings...
She's Hickel's grandniece. She's not a newbie.
Well, newbie as far as running herself is what I'm talking about.
Or being in government.
Yeah.
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 So you've been commentating.
So then, okay, let's look at Adam Crum
mm-hmm.
or Treg Taylor. Those are the other
mm-hmm.
two big ones.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Where would they go to get a lieutenant governor candidate? Because they're the Valley or Anchorage.
Yep.
Which is the same.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going
to also half the voting population of our state.
Yeah. So if you're not coming up to Fairbanks, you're going to the Kenai Peninsula or southeast.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So here's a little of the process too, Dave. And we've asked the governor candidates that have come to talk to the Laundry House Gang this question. I mm-hmm. put it on our list of 10 questions for them, and that is with 11 conservatives running for governor, for example. What do you do if here in the between now and June 1st, the handwriting is on the wall, you're not doing well, are you a person that then files for lieutenant governor? Because you can file up to June 1st.
your lieutenant governor is chosen now by your gubernatorial candidate.
I understand, yeah, but so you have to make yourself available.
That is right. you're withdrawing and saying, pick me.
Yeah.
Fairbanks, due to Ms. Uhas's exceptional perception, we're going to be taking a commercial break here. We're going to have Fox News, state news, commercials, and weather. And baby, it's warmer outside, then it's going to get colder outside.
Pick.
So we'll be back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 668.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. The arrest of Nicolas Maduro has been applauded by many, but Democrats and some Republicans in Congress criticizing the decision to attack without congressional approval. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer called it reckless. President Trump saying that Senator Schumer should have congratulated him for capturing Maduro.
You know, at some point they should say, you know, you did a great job. Thank you. Congratulations. Wouldn't it be good? I would say that if they did a good job, their philosophies are so different. But if they did a good job, I'd be happy for the country.
Democrats are pushing for Congress to pass a War Powers Act resolution to prevent any additional military operations in Venezuela. Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul tells Fox Business he's on board with that.
They wanted to make it harder to go to war, so they gave the power to declare war to Congress. And I think bombing another nation's capital and removing their president is an act of war. Anybody who argues otherwise, I think, has a very difficult argument.
Maduro and his wife pleaded not guilty to drug charges. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports the U.S. Coast Guard rescued nine people from a grounded fishing vessel near St. George Island early Monday after the vessel began taking on water amid severe weather conditions. Coast Guard watchstanders at the Coast Guard Arctic District Command Center in Juneau received a report at about 4:11 a.m. that the fishing vessel Arctic Sea had run aground along the island's northern shoreline with nine people aboard, according to the Coast Guard. A nearby fishing vessel, the North Sea, was unable to safely assist due to dangerous conditions, including 50-knot winds and 10-foot seas. The North Sea's crew remained near the scene to provide updates to Coast Guard watchstanders. Watchstanders launched an MH-60 Jayhawk helicopter aircrew from Coast Guard Forward Operating Site Cold Bay and an HC-130 Super Hercules airplane crew from Coast Guard Air Station Kodiak. The cutter Alex Haley was also diverted to the ship's location. The helicopter crew arrived on scene about 11:30 a.m. and successfully hoisted all nine people from the grounded ship. No injuries were reported.
Online at KFAR660.com.
Every day now at the Great Alaska Pizza Company in Fairbanks and North Pole, buy medium pepperoni or cheese pizzas for just $7 each when you buy two. The best pizza deal ever, every day. Carry out only.
The Great Alaska Pizza Company.
It's time for the 25th Annual Fairbanks Funny Festival, brought to you by Good Cafe Inside Good Cannabis. Friday and Saturday night, January 16th and 17th at the Pioneer Park Theater, starring the one and only Brad Upton and featuring a dozen locals doing comedy for the very first time. It's the best part of winter, the Fairbanks Funny Festival, which always sells out, so get your tickets now at AlaskaComedy.com or at the door, and get ready to laugh. The Fairbanks Funny Festival. Special thanks to Zach's at Sophie Station and the radio station.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Mr. Tinker, you have your finger up.
Well, it was an interesting conversation, and it's one of those things that's, like Jennifer said, and you said, it's a three-dimensional chess. However, I think we should, you know, do something really fun, like predict the weather thing. That seemed to be more fun to me.
Baby, it's cold outside.
So we've been
January in Fairbanks.
We've been commentating, but Tinker raised the question with a very nice segue from the Anxa Anilka Indian Country things to comments, online comments. And if I could take a little segue there, because you know how I love our ability to exercise our First Amendment rights through comment periods. First of all, it's that time of year where this is the month, boys and girls, where if you enjoy fishing and stocked lakes, go to the ADF&G website and you can comment on where you want to see them put some fish.
Now, first of all,
yes,
that's the last thing we do in the last 10 minutes. And so you bring that up, what lake you want.
Well, Well,
you're jumping the gun there, Ms. Juhas.
No, that's
which is fine.
That's the comment period stuff because there's a whole bunch of them going on right now. I'm going to talk about where to go fishing in the last 10 minutes.
You know, Wayne, catalog what I'm saying here. Ms. Juhas.
He keeps saying that.
Being a guest host.
Ms. Juhas is only used by the principal.
You get to do what.
Who is that?
Being a guest host, a wonderful guest host, you get to say whatever you want to.
Ooh.
You other guys, not so much.
When I'm on the other side of the table, I better fall in line.
No. Oh, yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Oh, Fairbanks, I'm getting wonked on here. So, Mr. Tinker, what else is on your mind?
Well, I would go a little further with what we started on earlier in terms of the Anilka comment period. It ends on February 13th.
Yeah.
A person can pick up the where to send it very easily by going to the Department of the Interior, and it's prominent. If you go just Anilka comments, it'll pop right up for you. I have a copy of it right here.
Please also look up, just Google Endangered Species Act comments. There are four different portions of the Endangered Species Act which require comment. And I've been seeing some naughty stuff online that some of it is probably just well-intended misinformation where people think, oh my gosh, it's pandalirium out there. Some of the revisions to the ESA that need to be made are not so that we can decimate species, not so that we can bulldoze the world, but to implement the ESA the way it was intended. And there are major conservation groups participating in this, and Tinker wants to jump in, that, you know, to make it science-based, to have the flexibility to be able to do something proper and ethical for many of these species. We talked a little bit about these population blooms or explosions. Well, we've been having an otter explosion in Cordova for 23 years. You know, if California wants them, put them on a cruise ship, lure them on with shrimp, let them play on the slides, and dump them there.
Yeah, and have them pay for it.
Yes. But right now, you can't touch them because they're endangered.
Yeah.
Okay, so
darn them Russians in the 1700s.
Yeah, both Anilka and ESA are victims of unintended consequences.
Yes,
yeah,
agreed.
Is what it boils down to. And this is an opportunity to take some of those consequences that have ended up in court and almost to the point of going against what the principle they were trying to accomplish in the first place was.
You ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Who's online? Randy Griffin?
We're going to find out. Good morning. You're on Problem Corner with the Laundry House Gang, and your name is?
Well, just ask Jennifer.
Oh, she, yeah. Yeah, hold it. Jennifer, who's going to be the Lieutenant Governor candidate for Bronson now? You're one for one.
Speaking of
Randy Griffin.
Randy Griffin. Mr. Griffin, what's on your mind, sir?
Well, I was just going back to Indian country that started off the conversation. And who was it? I'm sorry. Who was it that?
Wayne Heimer.
Wayne Heimer, yeah. Excuse me, yeah. Mr. Heimer talked about a certain piece in the legislation, and I don't think it was Anilka, it was the ANSCA, where it talked about Aboriginal claims to subsurface and all this and that extinguished. And I just wanted a little bit of clarification. Now, at the same time, the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act designated that 44 million acres, a huge amount of land, goes to natives and the 12 regional native corporations. And can you reconcile that first comment that talked about extinguishing, and can you tell me about subsurface rights regarding the native people?
And $1 billion was tacked onto that also.
For distribution.
For distribution. Yeah,
which was to come from oil and gas development.
But so with Randy's question, though, that the difference between what that phrase extinguishment of Aboriginal rights versus having received the land, there's still rights associated with that land, but some of that land is under state control that it wouldn't have been if it were, quote, a reservation or with our couple of tiny pieces of land.
They went corporate versus reservation.
Correct.
Yeah.
And we do have a couple of small pieces, Venati, down in Sitka, Metlakatla.
Yeah. Yep.
That still have, they're governed under the federal applicable laws to, quote, Indian country. The allotments that were received, Randy, are not considered Indian country, but are considered they're private lands.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some of the corporations have almost complete subsurface rights on their, but like a village corporation may not. But a regional corporation would.
Now, with that, I have another question directed at Mr. Heimer, because his 30 days of cold weather really has put philosophical aspects on him on the radio. Mr. Heimer, a part of this review is for subsistence and federal management versus state management. And the Alaska Federation of Natives has come out. They still want federal management, whereas a lot of people believe state management would be a better resource management system. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are, if you want to talk about management, first you got to figure out what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what management is intervening in any established system to get where you plan to go. You know, management is not making rules and regulations. That's how it kind of gets done, but that's not what management is. Management is intervening to produce a positive benefit. So first you got to figure out what management is.
Who do you think can do it better, the state or the feds?
Oh, I think the state, of course.
Okay.
And the reason being that the mandates under which the state has to operate are not discriminatory.
So with that word discriminatory, my thought would be, since Alaska Federation of Natives wants it to stay with the feds have had a higher, they look more of rural Alaska versus the Alaska in general for subsistence versus urban people who live subsistence lifestyles.
And that's part of the federal challenge,
yeah,
or mistake, as the case may be. You know, when you begin to grant preference to some, you must discriminate against others.
Exactly.
And the criterion for discrimination is arbitrary,
mm-hmm,
and consequently it doesn't fit very well with the Alaska Constitution, which is the compact, basically, whether we recognize it or not, that all Alaskans agree to abide by.
Boy, have we got it going here. Mr. Tinker, you're next, and then followed by Jen.
Well, this is really interesting because we brought up the Alaska Federation of Natives, and they have recently, through their president, talked about not eroding things from Anilka and whatnot. But it's really interesting because if you look at his remarks, one of the last things he said, the Native framework for subsistence must recognize not just rural needs, I'm quoting him here, but our distinct rights as Native peoples to hunt, fish, and gather. Here comes the dichotomy. The state actually offers a better solution for peoples to hunt, fish, and gather, all Alaskans, than the Fed does. Mm-hmm. The Fed restricts, because of its federal policies, some of the very things that the Natives really hold dear from a customer standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And this to me, so to say that AFN's position is the entire Native position is totally incorrect. There are lots and lots of Natives and Native leaders out there who realize we can't really get. Now, let me tell you one example of where this comes. And we knew this fellow, you know him too. Some years ago, a Native who lives in Anchorage.
Well, the head of the AFN right now is Ben Milot.
That's right.
Byron Milot's son.
Yeah.
So you have a second generation.
Yeah. There you go. But I'm going back a ways here. So you have a federal subsistence regulatory process. You're fishing for salmon in Fort Yukon, and you're a 75-year-old grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Your 35-year-old grandson who lives in Anchorage wants to come help you with the fishing so that you can get your fish.
Or your 20-year-old grandson who's going to college at UAF.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
That is against federal regulation. Those people will be cited.
Oh.
You may not go learn your culture. You may not go help your elders.
You may not leave those urban areas or non-subsistence areas and go to help someone in a subsistence area with it. Now, they do that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not supposed to, and it's absolutely against the regulatory process.
So basically, Senator Sullivan and his wife, Julie, in helping Mary Jane do that on the Yukon River, were committing a federal
violation. We're not actually going to imply that on the radio, not knowing all
of
the facts
and the exact... the time frame for prosecution is over.
Well, let's go back to the reality. They never fished in a federal only season. They fished during a state season.
Right.
Okay, Senator Sullivan, so you're free and clear on this one.
There'd be pieces we'd have to put in there.
Yeah, we've made up our mind. You're free and clear. Don't worry.
The last piece on that subject, though, that I wanted to offer is that even, you know, there's this perception that, you know, people like Mike and AFN must be at odds because they're asking for different things that don't look the same on paper. Some of the things that AFN or others may look to preserve might not be mutually exclusive from how the programs are implemented. Just because ANILCA says certain things, some of what is now the federal program has, in my estimation, from a view on the inside, has been not just somewhat bloated, but largely bloated and escalated from the EIS record of decision from 1981 that doesn't say you have to do all these things, but now it's simply tradition or lore from mid-level management that exploded when funds were there. They said, oh, well, we must go through all of this process before we adopt this. Nothing besides your own rules say you have to do that.
You know, in general, I look at something, a law in the books that's been on the books for 45 years. After 45 years, you want to review it to see what worked right and see what worked wrong and correct what you can.
Yeah. Or if it says you can't tie the horses
and
up
how many,
front. And
how many steps that. Did somebody, yeah, you, or somebody says horses will be tied out front. The law's fine, but then it says they must be tied to a post only on Tuesdays with a particularly braided line if you have walked the last 5 feet of tying the horse up. Like, how much of that is necessary?
Exactly. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Explore winter trails you never thought possible. Stand, float, walk on snow with better traction and stability than walking down the street. Modern snowshoes are the perfection of a 1,000-year-old idea. They're lightweight and versatile, easy and fun to use for all ages. If you can walk, you can snowshoe. Get the exercise you crave. Let it snow. Go explore. Start today. No lift ticket required. But first, find the right style and the right fit at Frontier Outfitters. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, and your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereed, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Auto Trim Design. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
KFAR weather.
Snow likely today, otherwise overcast skies. Daytime highs approaching 10 below. North winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Lows level off around 19 below. Tonight, snow likely. Chance of snow tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 16 below. Cloudy skies. 1 to 2 inches of snow today through tomorrow. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Having fun with the Laundry House Gang. Some very deep thoughts, conversations.
That's that very cold weather, Dave.
Very knowledgeable people, but on every Laundry House Gang show, at the end of it, I always bring up, what are you going to do outside during the month of January? And for the first time ever, I'm going to lead. I always end, but I'm going to lead because Jen wants to go last. So my thought, if I was going to do something outside in the month of January, I'd go to, after the December we've had.
You'd cut wood.
I would go up to Chena Hot Springs. I would get in the pool. And if I was going to do something outside with weather permitting, I'd do some cross-country skiing.
Well, I'm sure Mr. Carl would be glad to bring you a cold drink while you're in the pool.
And I'd definitely go hit an Appletini and do it that way. But my choice would be I'm getting the Chena Hot Springs. I'm going to be outside in the pool. Mr. Heimer, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking I ain't going there. You know, the
Chena Hot Springs, you mean?
Well,
or anything outside.
Anything outside.
January, you wimpy boy.
Well, I'm not a wimpy boy. I have certain things that I must do.
Standards.
I've got to manage the snow in the neighborhood. That's gross. What I do. And I must manage the freezing effect of my sewer vents so my house doesn't smell bad. I have found a way that may be helpful to folks. If your sewer vents freeze up on the top of your house, I have found some solution to the problem by taking a one-inch copper tubing, which I had left over at my house. Mm-hmm. You put a T on the top of it, and you stick it down your sewer vent to where it's below the into the warm part of your sewer system.
Right.
The conductivity of the copper seems to keep the heat coming up there, so your sewer vent doesn't freeze.
So
I'm up on the rooftops where there are no reindeer paws. I'm checking this out and dumping hot water down my sewer.
This is the laundry house gang. What we're doing outside, we get a plumbing equation.
No, the outside part is getting up on the roof to check this stuff out.
Okay. Mr. Tinker, what is your recommendation outside in the month of January that people won't fall off the roof like Santa Claus?
Well, let's look at logistics. Here the forecast is for going above zero in about 8-9 days. So that's going to create a rush to get outside.
Yep.
I tease people that it's picnic weather when you're coming up out of 30 below to zero.
Compo would be having great financing deals on snow machines right now, but
right.
Now he's in Mexico, so we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, I'd worry about
that. So here's a shout-out.
Right on the price, right on the river.
Yep.
He's working on...
right on the price, right on the ocean.
His
price is on margaritas.
On the canal.
Yeah.
On the canal.
He's working on a research project that has to do with various tequilas, yes.
Okay, yes, okay.
But anyway, what I was getting at there is as you charge out and after a long cold snap, the trappers are all going to be out. Because
yes.
A lot of them have not, they know that fur doesn't move a lot when it's real, real cold. And so as it warms up, they do. Every little critter out there, including Wayne's squirrels, will start to poke around and whatnot. And so what I'm suggesting here is to be a little careful on trails and things because the trappers are going to all be out running around. If you're on a trapper's trail, be polite and knowledgeable. For actually going out and doing something, I think this may be a first shot at some ice fishing. It'll be warm enough to get out and do some ice fishing, and I love to do that even in January. A lot of people say, light or dark or all that. We've tested that theory a few times at places like Birch Lake and caught just as many fish in the middle of the night as we do in the middle of the day. So don't let the fact that we only have a few hours of daylight, stop you from doing something like that. For my own things that I will do outdoors, and it's not just to get me outdoors, this is a time to look for firewood and work on firewood because there are places where you can get at it when it's frozen that are difficult in the summertime when it's soft and wet. So some of the firewood roads and things that go back in, it's a good time to maybe look at that. So anyway, that's where I would go just from the standpoint of getting out. But it is a really good time to bundle up everybody in the family and get out of the fact that you've been kind of tied up in the house for 3 weeks.
Chena Hot Springs. final, I can't wait to hear.
I had two suggestions, and Mike took both of them, but I can elaborate. But
that's what happens when you go last.
I know. Always, it's the first Tuesday of the month. I'd say get out, learn some trapping if you don't already know how, and you can go to the ATA meeting at the Dog Mushers Hall, light dinner at 6:30 with some fellowship, and then they'll start the program at 7, and you can meet. Trappers are fantastic individuals.
When is the next meeting?
Tonight.
Tonight.
Always the same as our first Tuesday of the month.
6:30 tonight?
Mm-hmm. And the program will start at 7, but the ice fishing. Now, after this month of ungodly 40 below persistently, we know that the lakes are frozen. And I've got that's a positive. We're starting the year on a positive. I've got two suggestions for people who think, really, ice fishing? So get an ice hut from DNR. You can rent it online. Go to the State of Alaska page. Just look for ice house rental. Mm-hmm. And if you go down to Birch Lake, so remember a few things. They'll have the wood stock down there. You'll have a wood stove inside your little hut. Couple of tips. Bring a lantern because you can't see in there. It'll be warm with the wood, but there's no light. And you know, of course, bring an auger, but check online to see if it was rented the day before you want it, because someone else will have already drilled the holes and they'll be easier to drill the second day. Mm-hmm. The other one is go out to Pike's Pump House, go have some lunch, plan on being there for a few hours, drinking some coffee, camping out a little bit if it's like a weekday, and set some burbot lines there and do some ice fishing. And, you know, you can enjoy your time inside and go check them and then go back in and warm up. Go check them, go back in and warm up. So that's mine.
I have another one. Looking at the temperatures here, this Friday is going to start looking good. Mm-hmm. Maybe a few drops down to minus 30, but back up to, you know, minus 5 to plus 15. A starter block, downtown Fairbanks, go ice skating. Downtown where the Polaris building used to be. Yep. Go do that.
There you go.
Yeah. And enjoy the downtown, walk around. Go hit the Humble Root beer manufacturing. And then when you want a bigger cocktail, walk next door to the Mecca. This is...
Wasn't Lavelle's Tap House right next to it?
Yeah, but they sell everyone else's, so...
Oh.
And it's not... But they sell everyone else's, so go get...
Is there still a hot chocolate place right there?
I don't
know.
That
fudge pot thing?
I think it's still there, yeah. The fudge pot's still there, but I don't know if they sell hot chocolate. But ice skate before you visit places that sell adult beverages.
Oh, before,
yeah.
Not
before,
after.
Yeah. Mr. Heimer.
Speaking of ice skating and other dangerous activities, I need a little encouragement to actually get busy and comment on all this stuff that you have mentioned earlier. I've been commenting on this stuff for half a lifetime. I've probably written...
You are special. You are kind.
I probably have three feet of paper at my home about this thing. Yeah, why should I bother when it's nice outside?
Why you should bother is because Kate McGregor, who is back at the Department of Interior, who I talked to two Februarys ago in Nashville, told an entire group of us that we need those of us, when the administration is listening, and maybe not all of them have, but the current Department of Interior is listening, that even just having a few of the comments that they can point to do the right thing are necessary. So it's that the world is run by people who bother to show up for meetings, forever hold your peace, all that stuff. But if the only people commenting are the people who don't agree with you, and there's no way to sort through there and give them the piece to point to that they already know that they probably should do once they've opened it, that... Because now you can actually make a difference. And I'm not trying to be Lucy with the football, but do it, Wayne.
Well, thank you. I'm greatly encouraged. And onward, Sancho.
You know,
this has not yet felt the sting
of
my lance.
We've got about 2.5-3 minutes left.
Regulatory review is pretty safe, Wayne.
Yeah. We got about 2.5-3 minutes left before we get into final comments. I just want to say thank you. This has been a great show. This has been a good one.
Can I put a nuisance wildlife thing out there? So
certainly.
If you are visiting Pioneer Park or in that neighborhood between the Carlson Center, the Hatchery, and Pioneer Park, or you are one of the people who take public transportation over there, there is a yearling moose who's been distraught. I think he lost his mother because the two of them used to be in our office yard, and now it's only him. And he's been a little bit wild and a little bit crazy for people parking in that area and using the bus stop.
Be careful. Final comments, Mr. Tinker.
Well, thank you, Dave, for the opportunity again. We'll look forward to seeing you in February and whatnot. And we will work on this. And maybe we can all kind of scratch our heads when Mr. Brunson tells us who the running mate is next week.
Mr. Heimer.
Checkers, anyone?
From the doctor in the room. Yeah. and Ms. Juhas.
Always a pleasure, David.
Thank you. We have about a minute and a half left, so... We're all going to voice our choices that we believe that Mayor Bronson will choose. I believe he will choose from the demographics given Representative Stapp. Mr. Tinker, who do you think?
I'm just not going to argue with you, Dave, but I don't have enough basis to make a selection.
Ms. Juhas.
I don't make a call unless I think I'm actually able to make the call. No.
I know.
Say a lot of things you disagree with or you think is bullshit, but, you know. You're going to have to beat me on that one, huh?
Yeah. Mr. Heimer.
Checkers, anyone?
No. I got, you know, you Laundryhouse Gang people, you know, you're being too politically correct.
There's plenty of instances today where I haven't been. I just don't think I can confidently call that one. I'm not going to call heads or tails unless I really think I can call it.
Unless you have a coin.
No, it's not. It's what you think, not what you know.
No, but I don't think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, well, my thoughts from the demographics given, it'll be Will Stapp, because you said next generation, you know, yada yada yada, finance.
I will give you this. I will give you the nod that out of the criteria, because I love the brain teasers and the puzzles.
30 seconds left. 30 seconds.
I think he fits the criteria the most out of any of the names that have been mentioned so far.
Okay,
I'll
like
give
that.
You that.
I like that answer. Okay.
One other outdoor activity. There are 160 caribou left to be killed in the quota of the 40 mile, and the weather's warming up. Those of you who care to go up the Steese Highway.
Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you. Great show. Fairbanks, you have a great day, and I will see you tomorrow.